afternoon and welcome to Wild Disabled. My name is Simon Sansom. I'm here with the fantastic Tanny Gray Thompson.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, we are in the House of Lords today.
Yes.
There are lots of protests that are going outside. First thing I want to say is the House of Lords and Westminster Palace is an amazing building. You've got thousands of protests outside, you've got the lovely discounted canteen outside, you've got the lovely view of across the Thames, and we're stuck in a really shitty little media room on like the fourth floor at the back of the building, and we've got no view whatsoever.
No, it's quite strange. So the media room, I'd love to paint a picture, there's a lot of oak, and there's this beautiful red velvet curtain behind us with a 1960s lamp on the table. Mm-hmm. The table's probably about 200 years old. And some combustible items and food waste bins in the corner. And a coffee machine that I've never seen have any coffee in.
No, it's awful. It's absolutely terrible. I thought we'd be in like a nice grand office. I saw Amin Campbell down the room in his office. I thought, let's go in there. That's got nice.
Well, I have to say, the office is on this floor are dead posh. Mine's one floor above, not as posh.
Is it not?
No. Okay. But it's about tenure, actually. And it's most of the building is beautiful.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't designed for women.
Okay.
Let alone, you know, in the 1930s, you know, women worked on the top floors because they were secretaries. Yeah. They didn't work on the main floor. So we're going
through
a bit
of change. It's got
a manly
feel, has it? Little
bit. You kind of accept that working in this beautiful building comes with the fact the heating doesn't always work and the Wi-Fi is a bit rubbish. But you accept it because you get to do stuff in here. So it's okay.
Now, there is one question which I got asked to ask you on social media yesterday. So I posted it online saying I was coming to see you. Mm. Okay, let's go through the list. You've got 35 world records.
Yes.
Okay, you're a dame or a lady. I'm not too sure which one it is now these days.
I was a dame, now I'm a lady.
That's what I thought. I wasn't too sure on that. Yeah. You've been a Paralympian, the most successful British Paralympian of all time. What do you put on your house insurance? You know when you're taking that car insurance or house insurance?
Yeah.
Do you ever get called up and say, is this really you?
I was just doing some car insurance for my daughter, and about halfway through the conversation, and most of the time people don't say a word, and then someone said, "You're that exact lady?" I went, "Yeah." Oh, and they went very professional again. So I do have a bank card that has Baroness on it, which wasn't me, it was actually the bank that did that.
That's just showing off.
The title's amazing. I always say to people, you know, if you're going to say it once, then I'm Tanny. But I do get annoyed when, you know, you have a drop-down menu on a website,
yeah,
and it gives you Dr., Mrs., Ms., and it'll have Lord, but not Lady.
Oh, no.
So, you know, a bit of equality there, guys, please.
But, yeah. Have you ever just put Lord, just for the fun of it? Because it's the same title as just for a man rather than a woman.
No, I haven't.
I would do that and see what they say.
Maybe see what they come back with.
Yeah,
but, mostly I'm just Tanny's fine.
Yeah, Tanny. Yeah, very down to earth.
Yeah.
Tanny. Yeah, absolutely. Although your secretary is lovely, guy. He is very posh. He's absolutely lovely.
He's very good at keeping me organised and directing me. And everybody should have somebody in work, like Guy, who just, when I haven't done something, which I've said I'm going to do, he sends an email that says, Tanny will reply soonest. He's got a very, very lovely way to
text me. Because you're 15 minutes late to come and see me. Yeah. He's like, where's Tanny? Tanny's got to get here. I've got to get her on track, and otherwise she'll get behind. And,
I know, he's very soon.
And he goes, Simon, keep it down to an hour. Keep it down to an hour. Keep it down to an hour.
This place, you can easily spend 14 hours a day here.
Yeah.
And you can easily just run around like a headless chicken.
Yeah.
And so Guy's job is to try and stop me doing that.
Yeah. And he's very good at it. I have to say, he does keep you on track.
Good.
So that's why I've got to get a move on to ask you some questions.
Okay.
Most people know your story, I'm guessing. Well, let's start from the beginning. Born, what happened?
So I was born with spina bifida.
Yeah.
And I've got an older sister, Sian, who was born with a heart condition. And so she'd had to have surgery when she was born. And then they found out that she'd also been born with dislocated hips. Mm-hmm. And then I came along with spina bifida. And apparently the only question my mum asked was when they said, here's your child, was could she have children? And they said, we don't know. And mum apparently went, oh, okay. And didn't ask anything else about what spina bifida
sounds a bit
was.
Like the Dark Ages.
Well, I think some of it was. Well, she was also told by someone else, if I'd been born a couple of years earlier, I'd been taken away and not fed and allowed to die. So when I was very young, I didn't exhibit any signs of an impairment. I just had this little bump on my back, about the size of an egg, which I called my bump. And then as I grew, it grew. So when I was about the age of 6, it was probably the size of a melon. And actually what that was where I'm missing the bones at the back of my spinal cord, and the cord is kind of oozing out and it's a big mushy mess. My body just developed a load of fat over it to protect it, because it's this cord. And so I could walk a little bit when I was young, gradually got paralysed, don't remember it, because it happened really slowly, didn't miss a day of school. If you know my parents, you'd know they don't let you off school by something like getting paralysed. But I adapted as I went along.
Yeah.
And then sort of by the age of six, I was paralysed and started using a chair. And there were lots of people around my parents who didn't want me to have a chair because they said that was giving up and I wouldn't do anything.
How would you get around if you didn't have a wheelchair?
Well, the idea was I'd wear calipers and crutches.
Okay.
But I couldn't really walk with them. Mm. Or I could a bit, but not very far.
No.
And I had a relator for a bit. And so my dad's view was, well, okay, you might be able to get, 100 metres, 200 metres, but you can't do it the same speed as your friends. Mm. And if you can't do it the same speed as everyone else, you won't have friends, you won't, be integrated. So dad and mum as well were very keen to me to have a chair so I could just fit in
and
do stuff rather than having to rely on lots of people to help me out.
Well, the chair's kind of helped you to define who you are. Once you become a teenager, 1984... Does that ring a bell? I've done a lot of research.
Well done, yeah.
Yeah. Not what happened in 1984. By the way, just to point out, I was two.
Thank you for that. That's brilliant. Thank you. That's always good. Was wheelchair racing?
The Junior National Games.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. They're in Wales. 100 metres.
Yeah. Yes.
You can't remember this, can you?
Not really. I did a lot of races.
Well, this is your first race.
Oh, okay. Right. It obviously had a really special place in my heart. That would have been kind of through school. And I played lots of sports. And my dad, again, mum loved watching sport. Dad did sport. Mm. And they thought I needed to be fit and healthy and active. So I was encouraged to do loads and loads of different things. Mm. I was pretty rubbish at all of them. And then started wheelchair racing.
Yeah.
And that was it. I just loved it. Yeah. And that was the thing that drove me on.
Now, you were on Countdown last week. I'm going to come back to the other minute. Okay. No, I'm going to come back to that in a minute, because you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. However, you said that your... Because I watched a few clips to come and do this interview. Mm. And you said that your whole life comes down to less than 20 minutes.
Basically, my Paralympic
your
career.
Your Paralympic career. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Which everyone knows you for. I mean, not to sound rude, you've done fantastically in the London Marathons. Yeah. But I know you from the Paralympics.
Yeah.
I don't watch the London Marathon. I mean, and that's that. In some way, are you kind of upset or sad or happy about that?
Gosh, I've never been asked that before.
That's the whole idea of this interview.
Yeah, I've never thought about it. I mean, it's as an athlete, I competed for 25 years. I trained really hard, 12, 15 times a week, 50 weeks of the year, and the total length of time I spent on the track at Paralympics is 19 and a half minutes. So, but I guess the interesting bit is that people from seeing that tiny bit or seeing you on another TV programme think they know you. And they think they know everything about you and might have a very positive view about you or have a very negative view. I don't expect anyone to remember that I used to do sport. I've kind of moved on.
Okay.
I'm 12 years retired. People still say, oh, you're that athlete, aren't you? I just go, yeah.
I mean, well, I'm guessing that happened with Steve Redgrave and stuff, aren't you? You used to be that rower, didn't you, and stuff and things like that. It just... Yeah. Over time, just people move on, don't they?
People are just lovely, so, you just embrace it. And yeah. I also get, BBC have really good makeup artists. Thank you, yes,
well,
they do.
Well, actually, I'm glad you brought up the BBC, because I'm friends with Adam Pearson, who's taken part in Wild Disabled, and he gave me a quote to ask you.
Okay.
I've written it down, just bear with me.
Yep.
He says, do you like being the BBC's disabled poster girl?
Ooh.
Because they had to apologise to you.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
That was 2000.
2000.
You were Sports Personality of the Year. You came third.
Yeah.
Should have won it. Never mind.
Thank you. Steve Redgrave did.
Yeah, and you can understand.
Fair play.
Yeah, absolutely. But they had to, I think it was Gary Lineker, wasn't it? They had to hand you the prize off stage because they didn't put a ramp in for you.
They forgot to put a ramp. And apparently... Yeah. The point that they realised was, so the production crew got to know the result, not that long before it was going out. Mm. And suddenly they were just apparently going, can't repeat. And, so they had to bring the award down into the audience. And do you know what? There were a few things. I mean, number one, I was just hugely proud to be third. That was, quite exciting. Mm. I don't think it was deliberately done. And what it did was it changed a whole pile of things afterwards. So in terms of access and, I decided I could either have a bit of a go at the BBC or sit down with them and say, right, what are you going to do to change it? So, you know, they brought in somebody whose sole job was to manage and support disability sports. So lots of really good stuff came out of it.
Yeah.
And I think some of it with campaigning, which I always did and now do a lot of, is knowing and understanding, and I don't always get it right, how far you can push things and when it's best to have a collaborative approach and when it's best to be a bit grumpy. So, you know, train travel, a bit grumpy.
You know. I follow your Twitter feed, actually.
Yeah.
Now, I don't take the train. I've come down from Leicester today. To get from Leicester to London, to central London, takes 1 hour and 4 minutes on the train. Okay. However, they will not accept my scooter.
Yes.
Yeah. I've asked, I've begged, whatever, you know. Otherwise, it's taken me 3 hours to get from Leicester to Houses of Parliament by car. And it's the only way I can get to London. Either I've got to take the National Express, which aren't disabled friendly, and I can't go to the toilet. Can't stop at services. So the only way for me to get to Leicester to London at the moment, is because of my scooter, is by car.
Scooters are on my list to do because, I mean, it's just... I think when they originally had the policy about scooters, it was when there weren't that many scooters around. And there's lots of different types of scooters. And there's just loads of stupid rules. I mean, some of the train companies say that if you've got a scooter, you can take it on board as long as you can get off, fold it up and climb on board with it. And, well,
no. Well, that's my wheelchair.
Yeah.
It's a wheelchair with an engine.
And there are some train companies where I've got quite a small chair. And my chair doesn't fit in the wheelchair space.
Yeah.
No, so so what I say about travelling by train, because I live in the northeast of England and then I'm in London 45 weeks a year, I want the same miserable experience of travelling by train that everyone else has. That's all I want.
I
just want to get on and off.
I love it. When you have a good experience, you sit with a member of staff with their arm around them and take a photo and go, oh, they were fantastic. Yeah. And if not, you just start bitching about them and saying, oh, what's going on here? And,
I never name them. Never name them. actually, good or bad, I don't. And sometimes it's, you know, they've not been informed or they might be having a bad day. Or I just think the system is just outdated.
Yeah.
And what has happened, you know what, I've been in lots of meetings in the last few weeks and really kind of knocking on a bit more of an open door. And actually what I said to one train company was, would you like me to stop tweeting? And they're like, yeah, well, just fix it then. Just fix it. Really simple. come on.
It's a nightmare. And I haven't travelled by train since my injury. And I've been injured for 4 years. Well, I used to get the train all the time. And I just can't do it.
It just makes it too difficult. And it shouldn't be that difficult.
No, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be at all.
If I can sort anything in my life, I'd like to sort trains.
Now, here's an interesting one for you. To get into the Houses of Parliament, I got diverted all over the place because of the black cab protest going on outside.
Yeah.
Now, for me and you, getting around London in a black cab is essential. I'm guessing you use black cabs all the time because most of the black cabs, or all of them, are disabled friendly, or they're they're supposed to be. And where they can go, I can go and you can go.
Yeah.
So having restrictions on the way black cabs can go, do you agree with it or do you disagree with it?
No, I think black cabs should, you know, be able to get around London. They are. I mean, I don't use them that much. And I've had some great experiences and I've had some negative ones with them. And I've actually got a battery pack at the front of my chair now.
Okay.
Which clips on and off, which is a bit quicker for me to get around. But no, I think they should be able to go. And in London, every black cab is wheelchair accessible.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're an important part of, you know, how disabled people navigate the city. Because, you know, the city's old and there's about a third of tube stations which are accessible. You know, so disabled people, you have to be quite creative about how you get around. And so they're an important part of that.
Yeah, cool. Right, let's talk about the organisations you support.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of them.
There's a few.
And first of all, can I also point out, do you actually know how many degrees you've got? / honorary degrees.
Okay, no, because I've got one degree that I actually...
that's the one you earned?
Yeah.
Well, actually, that sounded really harsh. I didn't mean it to sound like that. I'm not saying you didn't earn your honorary degrees, because obviously you have, but no. The one you went to university for.
Yeah, so my husband has a PhD, and his view is that when I've had to write 100,000 words to get a PhD, he'll come to the ceremony, which I think is fine. 28.
28. Okay, I'll count
to 35. Oh, really? I've missed them off. Okay, I'm going to go and have a recount. Okay.
How many doctorates have you got?
About 35. 30.
I'm not too sure.
Because there are lots of layers. You get an honorary degree, an honorary master's, an honorary doctorate.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
That's a lot of degree ceremonies I've sat through.
That's a lot. I mean, I've been to a lot of ceremonies as a journalist, okay? And there's a trick to it. Have a Werther's Originals. Because you've got this sugar, it keeps you awake, it keeps you active. Because you sit there and go, well, for 4 hours.
I'm now Chancellor of Northumbria, yeah. So I actually have to be on stage in view.
Yeah, take a sweet with
shaking
you.
Thousands of hands. So actually,
humbugs.
We do have a bit of a joke. Yeah. I do take a humbug on stage because I've got time from as the procession starts to when I have to do anything, I can have a humbug. Lovely woman at Northumbria who shall remain nameless. I did have a sweet once, and she's like, "You will never finish that by the time you get to the stage." And she put a tissue on her hand and held out her hands for me to spit it out. So
this will sound really bad, okay? Because I've been to quite a few graduation ceremonies. Mm. I didn't go to mine.
No, why not?
I didn't go to it. The reason for it is, first of all, I graduated last year. Okay, I'm 37.
Okay.
Okay, if I was 21 when I first went to university. Mm. Yeah, fine, but you know, I'm 37 now, and I thought, you got on the gown, you got to hire the gown, you got to know how the hat, and you got to sit there 4 hours and watch people do it. And all you do is walk up to the Chancellor and go, "Yeah, thank you, cheers, bye." And I thought, I can't be bothered.
Well, that's a shame.
I'm
ashamed I haven't got my gown with me. I could do a made-up ceremony.
Oh, do you want to go and get it?
Okay, hang on, I'll just give you guys congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's a lot better than coming from my chat, because we got sacked. Yeah, he got sacked 2 weeks ago. That's a different story.
And moving on.
Right, now, the reason I'm here today, okay, is... You didn't know this beforehand. We've met briefly before, and that's because of the Snowden Trust. Mm-hmm. And we met up here, Houses of Parliament, very, very briefly. You didn't know this, but the only reason I got through university is because of my scooter, which was paid for by the Snowden Trust. Because when I got injured 4 years ago, I couldn't work, and the only thing I could do is retrain. Because I worked for social services before. I couldn't go to people's houses and do assessments. I couldn't go to hospitals and do assessments. I was in shooting pains. I'm paralysed from the waist down. There's no way I could keep my job. So I had to go to university to retrain. I went back in a wheelchair. Getting around in a wheelchair for me, I mean, I used to play a bit of rugby. I'm 20 plus stone. I'm a big chap. It's almost impossible for me to get around. Mm. Went to the disability services at the university, which is DMU, De Montfort University. And they said, right, well, we'll see what we can do to help you out. And that's when we said, send off an application to the Snowden Trust. Spoke to the Snowden Trust, I think her name was Mandy. Absolutely fantastic, helped me out with the application. 2 months later, I've got a fantastic scooter which gets hoisted into my motability car. I got a 2-1 at De Montfort University because of the scooter and the Snowden Trust.
Yeah, Snowden Trust are amazing.
They are.
So Earl Snowden, you know, he did so much campaigning around disability rights and, you know, a lot of people didn't realise he had polio, so... had understanding of impairment, and I was a trustee for a number of years, because actually it's even more important disabled people get educated, so they kind of help people out, and they do some really cool stuff.
Educate people.
People need to know it's there.
Absolutely, and I saw you do an interview, with Lord Snowden as well.
I did, yes.
It's on YouTube.
It's very sweet, he was absolutely lovely.
Yeah, because the family were there as well, and they got really emotional when we came to see them in the House of Lords. And they heard the stories about people who had lost their sight and went off to Gambia or else to do stories and stuff and do their degrees.
The family still are huge supporters of the Trust, so that's really nice.
Yeah, so if you are listening to this podcast and you are a student and you are disabled, go and speak to Disability Services, they'll help you out, put in an application.
Excellent.
And they'll fund you to help you with your degree.
Really important.
It really is. Yeah. But there are lots of more.
Okay.
Okay, that's just one of them. I'm not going to speak to about every single one individually.
Okay.
Okay, we've got Transport for London.
I've just come off that, so
have you?
You can cross that off the list.
Okay, we'll cross that on the list.
Yep.
London Marathon, of course.
Yeah.
Women's Sport and Fitness Commission.
Yes. I'm still involved in women's sport. That's just changed a bit.
Okay, cool.
I need to update my website.
Okay.
Okay.
UK Active?
Yes, I'm chair of UK Active.
Okay. Sports and Good Foundation?
Yes. Yeah, I'm involved. Yep.
Tees Wheelboat Club.
Oh, they're so sweet. It's a wheelchair accessible boat. But I don't like being on water because I get motion sickness.
Really?
Yeah, so I've been on it once, but I thought I was going to be sick, so they brought me back.
I've seen this for the first time. I was doing a story at Chatsworth House in Derbyshire where they're actually just rowboats where you can go on there.
Brilliant.
And get your wheelchair on.
Brilliant.
And it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that.
I'm really supportive of them, just don't make me go on the water.
Okay. International Inspiration Ambassador.
Oh, so that was legacy of the 2012 Games, just encouraging more people to be active around the world.
Oh, okay. That's quite good.
Yeah.
Did you get to travel a lot with that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah?
But, well, you go somewhere for a day.
Okay.
I went to Egypt for a day.
That's a long trip for a day.
It's a really long trip for a day. Yeah.
Surely the flight must have took, flight there and flight back probably took longer than you're actually there for.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, that's fine.
Hope we went first class.
No.
Oh, dear. Sports Aid Foundation.
Yes, I'm a trustee of that.
Yeah, excellent.
They help young athletes.
Yeah, excellent. Obviously, Hazel Lords.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll talk about more of that in a minute. And Northumbria University.
Yes.
Yeah, because that's your area.
So I live in the North East, and they asked me would I be interested in being Chancellor, and I was like, oh, I don't know. And I went to visit them, and I just loved the senior team and how passionate they are about education. Mm. And so now I do, I get to do really nice stuff at the university, so I get to do degrees and sort of different dinners and events and... Mm. Just kind of champion the university, really.
So, because a lot of people don't know what chancellors do. Is it just a PR role, or do you actually get involved with the university?
You're not involved at all with the day-to-day running. So I don't sit on any of the boards, I don't sit on any of the decision-making process.
That's mainly the vice-chancellor's job, really.
Yeah, so I turn up and I shake hands. Yeah. Basically, I shake hands and smile.
Yeah. Poster girl from Northumbria University.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is pretty nice. You get to go to all the nice meals and stuff.
And you get loads of students who are really happy they've graduated, and you get to sort of share in the family celebration.
Everyone's trying to take a selfie with you.
Yeah, we have a few of those on stage. I've had a few fist pumps.
Yes, absolutely.
A couple of curtsies.
Yeah.
From boys, not girls.
Well, you know.
But, you know, my view is it's their day to celebrate how they want, so if they want to fist pump me on stage... That's and we do have, every year we have a couple of people who forget to shake my hand. Mm. And last summer this one boy came up to me, young man, after the ceremony, and he said, I forgot to shake your hand. I went, oh, it's okay, it's fine. He went, no, my mum's told me off. And I went, no, look, don't worry about it, it's fine. And he went, you don't understand. She's that woman standing up there glowering at me. I have to shake your hand. So I shook his hand. And anyway, we did some photos, so it was fine.
Oh, bless her.
People get nervous.
Well, I can understand that. Now, we do have to talk about Countdown. The reason for it is it's gone viral. And the easiest way to put this politely is, and people will get this, and people understand it, you got shagged on Countdown last week, didn't you?
So, the contestants pick the letters, and, you know, the way you do it is you learn to group things together. So if there's a double G or an E and an R, things like that. And so there's this moment where I was like, double G, yeah, right, okay, what else is there? And apparently there was this bit where I went, so the two longest words were either shagger or shagged.
Yeah.
I burst out laughing, refused to say those words on air. But what's been funny since it's gone out, I've just had people in the street. It happened yesterday where someone just went, shagger! And you go, hi, hello.
Yeah.
So it's really funny.
If you're onto YouTube or you're going through video feeds on your Facebook page, now you go through random videos, and now and again you get the random Countdown one where he divides 23,500 by 7 or whatever to get the 958 or whatever it is, and that's what's going to happen to you because that clip is 20 years old. So Shagged and Shagger is going to be there in 20 years' time with you crying on TV.
Lovely.
Yeah.
With me just saying, I'm not saying it.
Yeah. Was there actually? I mean, obviously it's edited. Was there actually a cut or was it, is that what you got when you saw?
No, it's filmed as live, so there's no pausing in editing. So actually, I think they showed the bit where I'd sort of held it together better, because I think there was one point where I was sitting with my head in my hands with lovely Susie Dent sitting next to me, just kind of joining in laughing, just saying, you know, apparently some of those words come up, you know, with some regularity.
Yeah. Okay.
There's worse words I could have said, not said on air.
We need to talk about Brexit.
Yes.
Oh, it's a horrible, horrible word.
Yeah.
You can't, even outside, I had to go through a police barrier just to get in here, because there's just people protesting all the time, and, for you, Brexit in or out?
I voted Remain.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Many reasons.
I knew you were going to, and I did as well. I completely agree with you. But yeah, it's just, this is my point. You don't know this. I've stood for Parliament twice, for Liberals, okay? And Paddy Ashdown actually gave me a call in 2015. The reason for it is I was one of only a few Liberal Democrats who actually kept their deposit. Simon, how the effing did you do that? Being Paddy, yeah. And I explained it. I knocked on every door and stuff at the moment. But at the moment, I'm politically neutral, like yourself, as an independent. I would like to stand for Parliament again. Would you say that for people with disabilities, it's extremely hard to actually stand for Parliament or local elections because of the support you get?
Yeah, it is difficult because, and there has been financial support and government's cut it and we're trying to bring it back in because there are additional costs of doing it.
That's the fund for elected office.
Yeah.
Because that was in when the Tories came in, and so the coalition.
Yep.
Yeah. Then there wasn't the coalition, then it got cut.
Yep.
There is talk about bringing it back in, it hasn't been approved yet. I was actually reading through that. One of the things that was missing for me, because I've been on the doorsteps, I've campaigned for two general elections and local elections. I used to be a local councillor. I was a councillor when I was fully mobile when I won my seat. I was disabled when I lost my seat, so I got injured in between. And the reason I won my seat is because I knocked on 4,000 doors.
Yeah, and that's really hard to do.
Yeah, I've got my scooter. It's not only hard to do, I can't get to the front door now. Yeah. And so what I need someone with me to knock on the door to say, I'm here, vote for me.
Yeah.
And unless I get that support and get the funding, it's not going to happen. And this is why you haven't got anyone in a wheelchair in the Houses of Parliament at the moment.
I think it's a real challenge because I think we need more diversity, full stop.
Yeah.
And you need people with lived experience of disability and impairment, and you know, just physically. And you know, there's lots of people who criticise the House of Lords for us being nominated, not elected, but there's a whole bunch of people who sit in the Lords who wouldn't go and for lots of reasons, or be able to knock on doors and campaign. And you know, there's a whole bunch of us,
the mobile bench.
Well, and there's a whole bunch of us who, you know, depending what the issue is, depending what side of the centre I'm on. So you know, and actually one thing that, you know, when you come to the Lords, you're told that you remain an expert in the thing that brought you here. So you don't stand up and say, well, 20 years ago, this happened in sport. You say, yesterday, this is what happened in sport.
Yeah.
And that's kind of really important. But, yeah, I just think it's, you know, there's lots of issues. We need more women. We just need more diversity.
Yes,
and there needs to be some support to have that.
Because
you just don't want more of the same.
No, and absolutely.
I think what's, you know, I've got a big frustration with politics. And, well, at the minute. And, you know, I think Brexit's just highlighted a load of those issues that we're in danger of people losing trust in Parliament. And that's a real worry.
Yeah. I'm completely partialist at the moment. This is my personal opinion, OK? I couldn't vote for Tories at the moment because of the cuts they've done in with disabled people. I used to be a Liberal, but I got fed up of losing. Yeah. And I can't vote Labour at the moment because of what's happening with Jeremy Corbyn and everything else. So at the moment, I've got no party to vote for. So what do you think about the new group?
It's going to be interesting. I mean, they've left at the same time because of a particular issue. It's going to be interesting if they can find enough things to agree on as they go forward. But I think there needs to also be more choice in the party. I mean, the great thing about being a peer, we're not allowed to vote in the general election.
Mm. Oh, I didn't know that.
No, we're not.
Oh.
Because we know we're coming back. So from the minute Parliament finishes, MPs become prospective candidates again.
Yeah.
So because we know we're coming back, we can't vote. So that's actually quite cool. No, I think there needs to be just more choice and more. I think a lot of, I really worry about a lot of young people who are disengaged, who think there's no point in voting. And what a lot of people said to me with Brexit is the first time their vote counted.
Yeah.
And that's really worrying if people think their votes don't count.
I mean, when I was campaigning on the doorstep, so there's no point in voting in a general election. And it just annoys me so much. If you don't turn out, you don't know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
So
we'll get more of the same. And different.
Let's get off the topics for the moment. They're serious topics. Let's have a bit of fun,
okay,
shall we?
Yes.
Now, these are personal questions based around you.
Okay.
Some of them are.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see how we get on.
Yeah.
Now, they're not supposed to be embarrassing.
Okay.
It's supposed to give an idea of the listener on who you are and what you like.
Okay.
Okay. So, favourite athlete?
Oh, that's really hard.
Well, you've been an athlete for decades.
There's loads of athletes
I
like.
There is. That's what I'm asking. Come on,
David Weir.
David Weir. Is it which one?
Wheelchair racer.
Oh yeah. Excellent. Oh. Favorite politician. For those who are listening, Tammy's sitting here with her mouth open, going, "Oh my god, I've got no idea," and we're sitting in the House of Lords, which is really embarrassing.
Favorite politician.
It, I mean, they could be dead if you wanted to. You know, they don't have to be alive. Don't have to be British. You know, you could say Barack Obama or something cool.
Oh, I've met Barack Obama.
Have you?
Very briefly.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Did you faint or anything?
Not quite. But him and Michelle.
Yeah.
Stunning.
Yeah?
Absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to pick him.
You're going to say Barack Obama?
Yeah, so I can't offend anybody here.
Wimp.
Ooh, that's hard.
Equalities Act.
Yes.
Yes, no, could do better.
Could do better.
That's what I thought. Yeah, absolutely.
Could do a lot better.
Steve Redgrave or Denise Lewis?
Steve Redgrave, because he did it over 5 games.
Okay, you're in, so I'm going to tweet Denise Lewis now, don't you? Sorry.
Do you know what? She is one of. I love Denise Lewis a bit.
Yeah.
If you ever look at her autobiography, the pictures of her as a child, every single photo in her book is beautiful.
Yeah.
She is just one of the most beautiful, visually beautiful women. And
she's not a bad looking lass.
And the kindest person in real life. Yeah. I now feel really mean. I'm so sorry, Denise.
Sorry, Denise. Barcelona, Sydney or Athens?
Barcelona.
Barcelona. No, 92, that was, wasn't it? Yeah.
92, amazing games, packed crowds.
Awesome.
Yep, cool.
Best way to get around London in a wheelchair?
Get a scooter attachment, but they're not cheap. Be creative.
Be creative, yeah. Uber access aren't too bad at the moment, but at night you can't get one.
I've never tried Uber.
Have you not?
No.
Okay, Uber access is actually very good because you get a disability car.
Okay.
The issue, I'll give you an example, is I was at the O2 Arena, went to see Britney Spears. One thing you should know about Britney Spears is you never go and see Britney Spears.
Okay. Was she disappointed?
Well, she didn't sing live. Okay, and she turned the microphone on to say hello. And then you had Ryan from This Morning crawling along the floor like a dog. And then she didn't sing any of her hits either, which I thought...
That's awful.
You go and see her to see the greatest hits of Britney Spears, don't you?
You need to go and see Rod Stewart. He does all the new stuff, and he does every single classic.
Yeah.
Absolutely stunning.
Yeah. I want to go see Paul Young. Bumped into him a couple of weeks ago, actually. I want to go see him
in
live room.
He'd be good.
Yeah, he would.
Wow.
Right, moving on. Fish and chips or curry?
What type of curry?
Well, I don't know. You tell me.
Prawn Rogan Josh.
Okay. I just realised I didn't tell you the story. I got stopped halfway through talking about Britney Spears.
Oh, right, yes,
So I was at the O2.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yep. Okay. And I was in my scooter. Okay. And coming out the O2, you cannot get anything for the love of money. There's so many people coming out, you can't get the bus. Okay. You can't get a taxi. No chance in hell. And you can't get down to the tube because it's not disabled friendly. So we thought, I've got a hotel at Waterloo. And there's a river bus that goes directly to the London Eye, which is just round the corner from Waterloo. And it's the last ones at 10:45. I thought, right, we'll make it. And we got there on time. They wouldn't let me on because of my scooter. It's not registered.
Oh, you didn't have a photo pass for your scooter?
No. I was like, how ridiculous. It took us 4 hours to get back to the hotel. My mate, who I was with, lives in Eastbourne, got back to Eastbourne
before I got back to
the hotel in Waterloo. Really crazy. Anyway, chocolate or smoothie?
Chocolate.
Marathon or visiting the parks now?
Visiting like the Olympic Park? Visiting a park. Oh!
Because there's two different sections to that, isn't there? Because marathon, like, you get the adrenaline going, or do you just like going out now, just enjoying them?
Marathon.
Would you still do a marathon?
In my head, yes. Physically,
your body says no.
My body's broken. Okay. And I know how hard it is to train for one. So,
Best gold medal?
100 metres Athens.
Yeah.
Hardest one to win.
Okay.
Most pressure. Best. One of the best technical races I've ever done.
Yeah. What can be done to improve access at the House of Lords?
The access is actually, it's not horrific, but you need to know the building.
Yes.
And you need to be a pass holder. So as a pass holder, you can get to every single part of the building in a chair. Not always by quite the most direct route. It's much harder as a guest coming in.
The only thing I noticed is these doors are fire doors, but not only that, they're 400 years old.
Yeah.
And they're hugely heavy.
Yeah.
And you coming in your wheelchair, and I had the same issue with my scooter. You can't get, an automatic push button, hit the wall. Oh, it'd be amazing.
I think there are probably too many doors to do it on. And with the work that's going to be done, they're looking at improving accessibility, but it's going to take a while.
Okay. Controversial section now. What not to say to a person in a wheelchair? I want to see if people have said this to you.
Okay, you've got a list.
I've got a list.
Okay, yep.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Right.
Can I have a go?
Yes.
Yeah, how often do you get that?
When I was younger, more often.
Okay.
Probably a couple of times a year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Where do they expect you to go? Because I don't know how... I don't know. Can you actually stand and transfer?
No, I'm totally paralysed.
You're totally paralysed.
Chest down.
So you can't actually transfer onto something else?
I can transfer onto a chair.
Yeah.
But not particularly like the floor.
So
I can't just stand up and go off you go, mate.
No, yeah. Okay, cool. Mm. That looks like fun.
Probably in my racing chair. Not in my day chair.
They look uncomfortable.
Definitely.
Yeah, because your legs go back quite far, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
And
they're actually really comfortable.
Are they?
Yeah. They're all custom built.
But, okay. Has someone ever asked you, did you get hit by a car?
A lot of what happened to you then?
Yeah.
Or what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
Loads of what's wrong with you.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
I got this in Costco in Leicester. Some bloke came up to me, he's serving out chicken samples, kicked my scooter. What are you doing in this thing? And I went, right, just bear with me. What's your email address, mate? And I went, he goes, why? I'm just going to send you over my medical records to you so you can have a look to make sure I'm okay to be in the scooter.
Oh, so rude.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Rude.
Yeah. It's good to see you out and about.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's lovely. Oh, it's so... Because it's the tone of voice. It's so lovely that you're out.
It's so... Like,
out of work.
Yeah, it is so patronising.
I'm out of the group
it?
Home, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Where's your carer?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Lots.
Yeah.
And now my daughter's 17.
Does she look like your carer now?
Well, people speak to her, not me.
Yeah. I get this all the time. You know when you go to parties? Because you're down here... And they're up there, they ignore you.
Yeah. Or yeah. I didn't see you down there. Right, yeah. Okay, I'm quite large.
But oh, yeah. So, no, when I went to events and stuff, and you go to meetings or interviews or whatever, they don't look at you. I mean, I'm a journalist. I get ignored as a journalist because I'm down here. Mm. I'm like, you know, I want to do an interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is why I sit down. It's like now, yeah, I'm sitting down with you, and I always do sit-down interviews, because I can't stand anyway, but that's sort of the point. But you get the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, poor you.
Oh, yeah, loads. Oh, it's such a shame. What is? Well, I got to travel the world for 20 years. And yeah, poor you. And and actually, my husband and daughter get it. Oh, it's such a shame.
Mm.
And yeah, so Karis deals with it really well. But she as she's got older, she's got a lot of that.
Can you have children and can you have sex?
Yes.
Yeah. It's one of those you shouldn't ask anyone.
Oh, when I was pregnant, I was asked loads of times, how did you get pregnant? And like, well, you have a mummy and a daddy who love each other very much. Like, how do you think of it? Or people saying, was it IVF? But just...
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's so frustrating, isn't it?
I was about 8 months pregnant. I was really ill and someone asked me how I got pregnant. I said I had sex with my husband. And she went, well, that's disgusting. I went, well, you've never seen him. I quite like him, actually. And then you go, I shouldn't have that conversation with anybody. And I kind of pushed away. It was awful.
Yeah. Oh, you're so brave.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Lots.
You're
so inspirational.
Yeah, absolutely. What for? All the time. Yeah. No. But, however, to a lot of people, you are inspirational. Now, I don't know. Now, you're very down to earth and you don't see this because you're Tanny. And although I'm, you know, Baroness, yeah. I call you Tanny, and everyone I know calls you Tanny.
Mm.
Yeah, you're not a posh lady. No, that sounds horrible, but you're not. You're very down to earth. You look like, you know, you're someone's mum.
Yeah, okay.
I'm trying to be a compliment.
Thank you.
Yes.
I think there's bits where you can be inspirational for being an athlete, but I'm not inspirational because I got out of bed this morning, because I can do that. Now, there's lots of other people who might really struggle, and getting out of bed is the hardest thing they've had to do that week. But... Mm. But it's that sort of quite glib, we're all inspirational because of something. Yeah.
Now, controversial one, just to finish it off, because this has got a lot of different responses, okay? Yeah. Did you do something wrong in a previous life?
Yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yes.
Now, tell you a good story. I interviewed Rosie Jones.
Yep.
Yeah, and she's got a CP, and people asked if they could pray for her. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
And she said no, because I love the way I am. And tell them to bugger off.
I had people at university ask to pray to cure me. I had many people over the years who've asked to lay hands on me. And
wow.
So my response to that is that if someone wants to pray for me, if it gives them comfort to pray on the legislation I'm working for, go for it.
Mm.
But don't put your hands on me.
No.
Don't touch me. Thank you. And I say it very politely.
Yeah.
But it's like, no. Yeah.
It's a bit strange, isn't it?
It's not for me. No, it's hard to do, and it's hard to know the right thing, because, and the other thing is, you know, you get a lot of, oh, you're all so happy, right, and some of that, sometimes I might be happy, and sometimes I'm just trying to show I'm happy, because actually telling someone to get lost is never very polite, so it's hard to deal with some of it, and sometimes it's, you know, you just need to keep a sense of humour.
This has been Wild Disabled. I have to say thank you very much to Tanny Grey Thompson, Baroness, Lady Tanny Grey Thompson. Got to get that right, otherwise I get told off. Thank you for taking part in Wild Disabled.
Thank you very much.